WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Protesters in Tel Aviv demanding the Israeli government put the release of hostages at the top of the agenda in the war with Hamas. The head of Hamas says his group is close to a truce agreement with Israel that would pave the way for the release of both hostages and Hamas prisoners in Israel. The BBC's Nick Beek.
What's interesting is that this optimism that comes out of Qatar is sort of echoed by what the officials in Israel have been saying and also what the American officials have been saying. So we're certainly not at a point where a deal has been announced, but there are signs of optimism.
Here in the U.S., travelers are crowding into airports this Thanksgiving week. These women lined up for flights at Chicago's O'Hare.
A little less crowded and a little cheaper flight.
I was worried that if I came Wednesday, it would be extremely busy.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve is at Newark International.
The FAA expects to be staffed appropriately. You know, staffing has been an issue at ATC and the airlines in the recovery from the pandemic. Airlines have hired tens of thousands of employees. Air traffic control staffing has improved, but they would even acknowledge it's not where it needs to be big picture. But this is an all hands on deck period.
The military says all nine people aboard a plane that overshot a runway in Hawaii and splashed into a bay came away uninjured. A Marine Corps spokesman says it was raining heavily during the training mission. Police near Colorado Springs are searching for a suspect in a shooting that left three people dead and one other person in critical condition. Custer County Sheriff Rich Smith.
We have a very good lead on where he is right now. Okay. In fact, literally right as I walked up, I was getting a text from the local chief of police that's handling it.
Investigators believe the five had been arguing over property lines. New study finds people who did what they were told during COVID lockdowns came away the worst for wear.
The Welsh researchers found the people who adhered most strictly to the lockdown rules were the most likely to continue to suffer depression and anxiety today, possibly because their own empathy and concern for the greater good made them more vulnerable to both conditions. Those people who defied the lockdown rules were least likely to suffer lasting effects. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
A familiar face was back on CBS's Late Show.
Please welcome back to the Ed Sullivan Theater, Mr. David Letterman.
Letterman returned for the first time since he handed over the reins to Stephen Colbert 8 years ago. He noticed things had changed on set.
It's like a mall. It's unbelievable. It's like Rodeo Drive. Ladies and gentlemen, this is television of the future.
Before the show was over, he jumped right back behind the desk. S&P futures down 5. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and childcare. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers prepare for the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers back at practice after the win over the Chargers. But from the training room, 16 players listed on the Packers injury report, 6 unable to practice. Banged up maybe, but not quitters, says wide receiver Christian Watson.
I mean, I think that we just showed it again, but what we already knew. We knew that, you know, we were fighters and we were going to keep on battling to the last second. I think Jay Love said that at the end, you know, we'd been on the wrong end of, you know, that battle, you know, a little too much this year. And it was just exciting that we came out on the right end this time and kept on fighting all the way to the end.
It's the Packers and the Lions Thursday morning at 11:30. NBA, the Bucks dominate the Wizards 142-129. Giannis with 42 points. Chris Middleton, still recovering from that knee surgery, had 18 points, surpassing Michael Redd. And now, Sidney Moncrief for the fourth highest career score in team history.
No, shout out to Michael Redd, shout out to Sidney Moncrief. To come out here and pass those legends, it means a lot.
That's the Bucks' Chris Middleton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 43 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 10 to 20. Tonight, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45. Then on Thanksgiving Day, it is going to be partly cloudy and a whole lot colder with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap UK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Welcome back. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday, November 21st. Nice to have you along. Up here in Chippewa Falls, Greg Bach standing by in Waukesha, and we have two great guests standing by as well. We are going to be talking in a bit with Robert Craig of Citizen Action about how things could be better in the Badger State if Badger Care could live up to its full potential and add a public option as well to give families more choices when it comes to affordable health insurance coverage. Then later in this hour, we'll talk to Professor Stephen Kahn. He's a professor of history at Miami University of Ohio. And he has written about the so-called rural-urban divide. And he puts an emphasis on the so-called, that some of these divisions are being played up, perhaps for less than honorable purposes by some, and that the challenges that face rural America are many of the same challenges that face urban and suburban America as well, and that we need to think differently about the challenges that are before us and how we can not let some false construct to get in the way of finding solutions to the problems that face our country. If you'd like to join us by phone, 844-967-2789. By email, it's radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you're watching on the Facebook pages of Up North News or Civic Media, you can post a question there in the comment section, and we'll see it, maybe put that up on screen and address it as well. But first, I'm very happy to be joined by Robert Craig from Citizen Action to talk a bit about healthcare, especially as we get to this end of the year period where people are making decisions about their care in 2024, and then they have to make their decision about who to vote for in 2024, and Robert Craig is very active on all those fronts. Robert, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Always great to be with you, Pat, and thanks for all the great work you do here at Up North News.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, as I mentioned, the end of the year, and there's open enrollment periods going on right now for, you know, the Affordable Care Act marketplace, for Medicare recipients. In fact, there is a new op-ed over at upnorthnewswi.com talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, how it ended 30 years of taxpayers not being able to use their buying power to get lower prices from big drug companies, but that's finally changing, at least for now. You know, the drug companies are fighting that tooth and nail. So, Robert, it just seems like whatever facet of healthcare we're talking about, there's always a way that it can be improved upon, and there always seem to be people that want to stand in the way of that. For Wisconsin, let's start with background about Badger Care and Medicaid. What is it to the average person who doesn't follow this? What is it that makes Wisconsin so unique, one of only 10 states left with a dubious distinction when it comes to expansion of Medicaid?
So let me, before I get into that, agree with you. The Inflation Reduction Act and what President Biden did in his first 2 years is important to focus on here. And you had to take on the big pharmaceutical lobby, the most powerful lobby, some people think, in Washington, in order to start the process of actually creating a fair price for average people. And you had to get as far as you could. President had a very slim majority, couldn't get anything that wouldn't go through two very conservative U.S. senators who were caucus with the Democrats. And so he got as much as he possibly could and understood the dynamic. It was the government, our democracy, stepping in and making prescription drugs more affordable. He also made permanent additional subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that make at open enrollment healthcare much more affordable. And one of the problems, his challenges, is not enough people are understanding as they go to open enrollment or as their seniors dealing with prescription drugs that the lower prices they're seeing or the greater subsidies on the marketplace are a result of the work of President Biden at Democratic Congress. And that's part of our task in 2024. But as you point out, we have a task at the state level. And so we, even though we're one of the great innovators in expanding our state Medicaid program, Badger Care, on a bipartisan basis, Tommy Thompson is the one who first greatly expanded it. They named it, his Health Secretary Joe Leanne, in the 1990s. And then Governor Doyle followed up and expanded it dramatically. And it's extremely popular. So what's been happening, though, since the legislature was hopelessly gerrymandered in 2011, so only one party could control it, is that we are now gone from a leader, a state that had the most Medicaid enrollment and the program that helped the most people, to one of the least, because President Obama, under the Affordable Care Act, set it up so it was a huge fiscal advantage, financial budget advantage for states to participate. So it was a win-win. You get more people covered in health care and you save money. And Scott Walker did the irrational thing for political reasons and decided to pay a lot more, over $1.5 billion more a year on average, over each two-year state budget, in order to cover fewer people. And we are now one of 10 states that did not expand our state Medicaid program and is giving away money we pay to the federal government through our taxes every year for the privilege of covering fewer people, Pat.
And so it should be noted that year after year after year, states that we consider red states, Republican states, they look at the numbers, they look at the state of their constituents, and they have made the decision to accept the federal expansion of Medicaid, which is called Badger Care here in Wisconsin. But in Wisconsin, we're now one of the last holdouts. I always refer to it as a temper tantrum. There's still this temper tantrum that President Obama got the Affordable Care Act passed, and so many people are still paying more than they have to or have less stable coverage as a result, it seems, Robert.
Yeah, and I was at a summit in Atlanta earlier this year with the states. It was then the 11 states that have refused. And it was kind of a sad situation. And of course, we're now 10. North Carolina will not join us in 2024 if we reconvene that group. And so it's not what Wisconsin's used to. We've heard about the Mississippi-ication of Wisconsin. That's what this is, because Mississippi is one of the other 10. But you got states like Louisiana, Missouri, Arkansas, Wyoming. I mean, this is just not Montana, North Dakota. This is just not controversial, even among red Republican states. It is, so it's political, purely political, in the way people generally do not like it's unpopular. They've been able to ignore where the public is. Every single budget, they've had six opportunities now to expand Badger Care and have not. And if we get fair maps from the now much more balanced Supreme Court, then they will have to go back to voters and account for this.
And yet, what they're going to hear if they confront their Republican representative is, I mean, they used to not say the quiet part out loud. They used to say, oh, it's about the money, but, you know, maybe the federal government won't stick to its commitment, when, of course, it has. Instead, they just come right up and say, Medicaid? Oh, that's welfare. What do you tell people when they hear that?
Well, people need to take a step back, and we do a lot of deep canvassing, deeper conversation with people who might on surface react to that, right, and think, oh, okay. But think about Why are they saying that? What are they saying there? Why would they call it welfare when it's not welfare? Just for example, Pat, to give $1 billion to a billionaire owner of a $500 million to a billionaire owner of a sports team, the Milwaukee Brewers, which the state just did last week. And it's to divide people, right? So that the folks who don't want it politically can continue to win by division. And so it's a dog whistle that says that people who don't have access to coverage can't afford it, that it's their fault. When in fact we know, Pat, that even upper middle class people cannot afford healthcare on their own. It is so expensive in this country because it has been rigged for profit rather than set up so that average people can have what is a fundamental right, the right to access to healthcare.
It's again a case of much like the Medicare prescription drug relief. You know, it is all of our taxes, and we should have the ability to have that increased, you know, bulk buying power that comes along with health insurance coverage. Robert Craig is talking to us about that now from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and we will continue the conversation in just a bit. But first, meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology is here with us and gives us the details on the forecast heading into midweek. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, it looks like a little all over the place here for today. It looks like a few spotty chances for rain early this morning around Amory and Baldwin, a better chance for rain throughout the morning hours around Waukesha and Milwaukee, then a chance for rain and snow mixing this morning from Richland Center over towards Madison, and then also for Oshkosh, but then actually turning into a slight chance for rain in the early afternoon hours around Oshkosh. Cloudy and more of a dry day for central Wisconsin around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids. Highs today lingering in the mid to low 40s for the listening areas, and some locations actually not moving too much compared to where their current temperatures are. So overall, it does look like actually a fairly average day as far as temperatures are concerned. Wednesday, an easy day tomorrow. Looks like sunshine for all, mid to low 40s expected. Then cooler for the second half of the work week as a cold front pushes through. A sunny Thanksgiving holiday coming up on Thursday with highs in the mid to low 40s for southern Wisconsin, mid to upper 30s from Oshkosh through central Wisconsin, and staying below freezing for Amory and Baldwin right around about 30 degrees. Friday looks like partial sunshine from Richland Center over towards Milwaukee for southern Wisconsin. Sunny for central and west central Wisconsin, highs in the 30s for most. Our coolest spots actually dropping into the upper 20s on Friday afternoon around Wausau and over towards west central Wisconsin.
Some very good news by and large for folks doing some traveling for the Thanksgiving weekend. Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right, we'll continue our conversation now with Robert Craig from Citizen Action. And Robert, just time for one more quick one before we take a pause here. And that is, we've talked about this from the standpoint of the consumer, the family, the customer, the patient, however you want to call it. There are plenty of small business people as well that think Wisconsin is overdue to essentially level the playing field. Isn't there a benefit to entrepreneurs to expanding Badger Care?
Well, there is an additional bill on top of Badger Care expansion that we're advocating now, and had press conferences in Eau Claire Friday, La Crosse yesterday. I was in La Crosse with a lot of state legislators. It's called the Badger Care Public Option Bill, and it would open Badger Care even further, Pat. And by the way, the federal government pays for the bulk of the costly part of it, and Minnesota's already done this. So you can actually double Badger Care eligibility, and you can open it up so individuals can buy it on the marketplace and get those affordable tax subsidies. I'm talking about, and small business can buy in. I know we can talk about that after the break. Pat.
Let's do that, because again, we'll talk about putting in a public option and the benefits that would bring to Wisconsin, to Badger Care across our state. We'll talk with Robert Craig from Citizen Action, and we'll continue that conversation right after this. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. K.
Night wind was blowing. Where you think you're going, baby? Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy.
But all right, I warned you. So call me maybe. Can't say you weren't warned. It's Carly Rae Jepsen's 38th birthday today. All right, let's continue our conversation with Robert Craig from Citizen Action of Wisconsin. We are talking about Wisconsin being one of the last remaining states where Republicans have not expanded Medicaid so that more families in Wisconsin can be covered, so that more small businesses see stability in their workforce. And we're going to get into the not just expanding Badger Care eligibility, but also then adding that public option. So, Robert, let's go back to square one and talk about what a public option would be in this instance. What would it look like? And then why is that a good idea?
So here are the elements. This is a bill originally authored and by Christina Shelton, a Democrat from Green Bay. There are other lead sponsors and a lot of co-sponsors. We're getting to the point where we might be able to get every Democrat as a co-sponsor. We're not quite there yet. And so it would build on Badger Care expansion. So you have you could have Badger Care expansion. Federal government pays 95% of it, and it saves us money. There's another little known part of the Affordable Care Act called the Basic Health Plan that allows you to create a public plan, an additional public plan on top of Badger Care, which doubles our current eligibility level. So for a family of three making less than $50,000 would be eligible for that public program. Then, since we have a great Badger Care program already, it's a comprehensive package. You don't have all the rate claim denials of private insurance, the high deductibles and co-pays, and then the denials. You could allow individuals who buy insurance on their own on the current Affordable Care Act marketplace to choose either corporate insurance or Badger Care, and they get the same subsidies to help afford it, and you could open it to small business. So you would dramatically increase the options everyone has for health care in Wisconsin, and create a much lower cost option without all of the problems you have using corporate insurance now, because a lot of people are not seeking medical care who are insured right now. Over half of Wisconsinites, according to a scientific study we were part of earlier this year, even though they are insured. So having insurance no longer makes healthcare affordable for folks. And you pointed out small businesses, Pat. Only a third provide insurance coverage. They want to, they just can't afford it. There's really good research done every year on that. And we've done nothing on that. The legislature has been a do-nothing legislature since it was gerrymandered on healthcare costs. And they claim small business is a great constituency, but this harms small business. They lose their best employees. People don't start small businesses. Often businesses close that are very successful, that salon, that restaurant that you love that's always packed, why did it close? It might be because a small business owner or member of their family got a chronic health condition and they didn't have good health care. They couldn't afford to run the small business anymore. So it's a game changer for entrepreneurialism, which Republicans came to support, and for basic freedom for people to be able to have health care taken care of and to follow their dreams, to create that small business they've been dreaming about all their lives.
When we talk about Medicaid or Badger Care, for some folks, it raises the specter that this is some kind of government-run, one-size-fits-all option. Can you
address those concerns versus the notion of expanding Medicaid and having a public option provides more choices for families and businesses.
Well, that's why it's called a public option. People can choose, and people don't have good choices right now. The survey I mentioned before, 52% of Wisconsinites have skipped needed medical care because they couldn't think, they thought they couldn't afford it. 95% of them had insurance. In other words, even when you have insurance, you're afraid of that $1,000 medical bill, especially since at least half of Americans can't afford a surprise $500 bill. And as you know, Pat, if you have any serious medical interaction, it's probably going to be a lot more than $500. And so this just creates another option. It's wildly popular. Who's against it is the big insurance companies that want to keep sticking people with their option and people not to have other choices. And quite frankly, the hospital monopolies and big pharma don't like it, because part of BadgerCare and part of Medicare is that the government sets a fair price, so that it's not the big financial interest deciding what should be charged for a particular service. It's based on what would be a fair price, what would it take to actually deliver that service, be it a mammogram, a colonoscopy, those are preventive procedure procedures, or anything more advanced like any kind of surgery or medical intervention.
And then let's end on a note going beyond just covering people, but you know, the workforce in general. We just finished a special session and fall session of the legislature where Governor Evers wanted to address workforce development in several areas, not just healthcare, but also childcare. As you look back at that session and look ahead to 2024, and especially in light of today's, you know, gerrymandering case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, what is your message about what the current majority legislators really stand for when it comes to workforce development in Wisconsin?
Well, their workforce development proposal, Pat, was it was a bait and switch, because it was the biggest, the bulk of it was a massive tax cut for the people already doing well in our state. And that is wildly unpopular and unnecessary and drains us of the revenue we need for public education, healthcare, childcare, the things we're not doing well, shared revenue and investment in our local governments. And so that's what they stand for. If you think about healthcare and workforce development, Pat, we now live in an era where people don't stay, can't stay. The economy's changed at the same job for 50 years that provide them good coverage. And so they're moving between jobs, they're looking for opportunities, they're working for small businesses, they're self-employed. Even people who have good coverage now, they don't necessarily think they'll stay at the job that has it, or their job will keep providing it for their whole careers. And so you need these kind of options, like both BadgerCare expansion and a BadgerCare public option, so people at those intervening periods have choices, and people who choose to work for a small business, to be self-employed, to take time off to work, to help a sick relative or sick parent, right, to keep, allow them to live independently in their homes, that they have a place to take care of their own health care. And so there's a real burden right now with people literally turning down income, child care workers, home care workers, others, so they can be under the poverty level and have access to health care because they have a chronic disease. In other words, at our artificially low eligibility rates for BadgerCare. That is unnecessary. It costs the states more money, and it depresses the Wisconsin economy, prevents us from having the quality workforce we need available to do the work people want to do and employers want to hire them for.
They do. And to learn more about this, look for Citizen Action on the web as well. Robert Craig from Citizen Action, thank you so much for telling us more about some of the newest push to expand and strengthen BadgerCare and, you know, do some real workforce development for the families of Wisconsin. Robert, I appreciate your time. Have a great day and a good Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the great conversation and for all you do to be a voice for up north Wisconsin, everywhere outside Milwaukee and Madison.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate that. Have a great day. Let's take a pause here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk a bit about the rural-urban divide, and is it really what so many talking heads make it out to be? We will talk to history professor Stephen Kahn about that, along with our friend Hans Breitenmoser. That's coming up on this Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. Join me back up here at the lake in just a bit. So
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Two U.S. officials have just told CBS News negotiations to secure the release of hostages from Gaza have, quote, moved closer to a deal than they were over the weekend. CBS's Lilia Luciano is in Tel Aviv.
As so many await a deal, fighting has continued in that Indonesian hospital in Gaza, where still more than 2,600 people need to be evacuated.
Thanksgiving travelers like Jackie Rosina are lining up at U.S. airports.
We wanted to go somewhere big, international, and it's our first time in Europe.
She's headed from Miami to Paris as massive storms push toward the East Coast. A story of survival from Hawaii. Tucker Hills lives close to a Marine Corps base near Oahu.
Four fire trucks passed the house and an ambulance. And then like 10 minutes later, I got a text from my dad saying that like apparently a plane crashed.
Military officials say none of the nine people aboard the U.S. Navy plane was hurt when it overshot a runway and went into a bay. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details Monday, only that Christina Navarro Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will argue that the way the maps were drawn was unconstitutional. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Partly to mostly cloudy today. We'll get to around 43 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north at 10 to 20. Tonight, 24. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 45. Then on Thanksgiving Day, it is going to be partly cloudy and a whole lot colder with a high of only 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. UK.
Radio. And I'm joined now, as I am many Tuesdays, with our friend Hans Breitenmoser from up in the Merrill area, Lincoln County dairy farmer, somebody who's been active with Citizen Action. And Robert Craig had lots of nice things to say about you, Hans. Good morning. And you know, thank you as well for tuning us on to our guest coming up here, Professor Stephen Kahn. So how are you, Hans, up there?
Oh, I'm great. Robert is a hero of mine, and my ears were totally ringing if he was saying nice things about me. Or it might be the tinnitus, which I need health care for.
Yes, we definitely need that. But Hans has been a tremendous advocate for for rural life in Wisconsin, for the rural economy. But we turn to Professor Stephen Kahn from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. To talk a bit about, what rural America is, what it isn't, and what are the discussions we should be having about, the issues that affect people, whatever their zip code. Professor Kahn, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. This is great. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. Let's... Hans, I'm actually going to toss it to you first. You were the one that sent me this note saying that you were hearing Professor Kahn on another radio station and taking some great questions. What was it that perked your ears up?
Well, it's just always interesting, the conversation about, anything rural and having to do with the economy and how, why people vote the way they do and so forth. And I've said for years that it is often the case that our rural policymakers, and I use that term lightly because I feel like they're rural politicians more than policymakers at this point in our history, but there is a lot of finger pointing that happens. And so it's pretty easy for us here out in the hinterlands to scapegoat, folks in Milwaukee for things that are poorly managed in our area. And when it comes down to the elected officials that we elect up here and so forth. And I've always said, and I always tell my kids this, you've got war, you've got strife, you've got all sorts of things going on. But at the end of the day, most people, regardless of what their zip code is, regardless of where they live in the world, they want basically the same things. They want a dignified life. They want a nice place to live. They want enough food on the table, and they want safety for their children. And that's not unique to Madison, Milwaukee, or rural, Lincoln County. That's something that everybody wants. So rather than scapegoat, I would hope that our politicians start, listening to their constituents and solving some problems rather than pointing fingers, because that clearly does not work.
No, Professor Kahn, let's bring you in right there. What do you make of the premise from Hans and how that ties into things you've written, such as The Lies of the Land, seeing rural America for what it is and isn't?
What he said. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, that shortens this segment by a lot. Okay.
You're the professor here, okay? You're supposed to have some really sage advice for it. I'm just some farmer, just trying to get the cow's milk, man.
I'll start by talking a little bit about why I wrote this book in the first place. I'm actually an urban historian. That's one of the specialties that I do. But I live in a very small town in a very rural place, and I teach in a slightly larger town also in a very rural place. And I go back and forth, and I'm looking out at these largely agricultural landscapes. And what I'm thinking about is that the way we talk about urban and rural, it just doesn't seem right. And it seems, maybe more to the point, counterproductive. We're not getting anywhere with the kind of conversation that we have been having, at least for a decade now, and probably longer than that. And so I thought I would try to look at these questions from a different angle. I think when we talk about, the urban-rural divide, when we talk about what's going on in rural places around the country, we tend to talk in terms of crisis. And when you do a deep dive, as I did, into the history of all of this, what you discover is that we've been using that language at least since the 1870s, which suggests that, if we're still talking about it that way, we talked about it that way in the 1870s, in the 1970s, and here in 2023, then maybe that's the wrong conversation to be having. So what I thought I would do is to look at how the big forces in American life over the last 100, 150 years have played out in rural places. Not in any particular place. I've sort of dropped down in this book into a variety of places, Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Appalachia, parts of Texas and whatnot. And what I've discovered is that rural America has been affected by exactly the same forces that have affected every other part of the country as well. Sometimes for good, sometimes not for good. But I don't think, I think this divide is an artificial construct that maybe is convenient for us, but I'm not sure it gets us very far.
We were once a nation where it was something, I don't have the numbers in front of me now, where it was like maybe it was 2%, you know, urban, and now it's, you know, 2% farmers, something like that. But that shift in the population, you're saying, has or hasn't made a change in the shift of the actual issues, what you know, moms and dads go through in rural Wisconsin versus what moms and dads go through in the suburbs.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's stop for a moment with those numbers, because you're absolutely right. 1790, the first census get done. And it's about 3 or 4% of us are urban and the rest of us are rural. Nowadays, I think full-time farmers are about 1.5% in the last U.S. Census. I could have that off just a little bit. So why is that happening? Well, that's happening because, and Hans knows this better than I do, that for at least 150 years, agriculture in this country has been industrialized. And it has been at far more so and far faster than in any other Western country, for sure. And what that has meant is, well, two things, obviously. First is less and less labor is needed to do the same work, which drives an exodus of young people out of rural areas into larger urban areas looking for work. And it drives the consolidation and therefore the sheer size of farming operations altogether. So you remember the Homestead Act in 1862 gave people a plot of 160 acres. Nowadays, the average size of a farm in this country is at about 450 acres. But, you know, in places like Kansas, it's 800 acres. In Montana, it's close to 2,000 acres. So that sort of industrializing on the one hand, and industrializing just as fast as everything is going on in the cities as well, and then driving people away because you just don't need the same amount of labor.
Let's come off the farm for a second, because in rural areas, in smaller communities, you still have plenty of people who are not actively farming, but who choose to or need to live in these places. And I know that as a legislator who grew up in a city, but married, you know, a farm girl and represented a 50-50 district from, you know, both urban and rural, you wanted your rural schools to succeed just as much. You still need broadband internet brought out to the rural parts of your district. And it seemed to me so often that the butting of heads, you know, that gets so much writing up, seem to be either a matter of political convenience, or at its worst, at times, more of a victimhood, you know, mentality, because there's only a few of us versus a million people in a city. Yeah. So when you look at all of that, how do you think that lawmakers and policymakers should be thinking differently when they try to help out the economies of small communities as well as large ones?
Yeah, that's a great point. If I had one prescription to make, wave a magic wand, I would wish that a lot of rural people would get right with the federal government. Let me pick up your broadband internet example for just a moment. In 1932, fewer than 10% of rural households had electricity. By 1960, 95% of rural households had electricity. And that was because of the New Deal's rural electrification program, right? Transformed life in rural spaces. Wasn't going to happen with the private sector. Power companies were not going to do this. It required a federal program. Well, fast forward, we're talking about access to internet. Private companies are not going to do this. Where is our rural internet program like we had during the New Deal? but many of these rural legislatures are so hostile to the federal government that we're not even that legislation isn't even on the table.
Hans, I wanted to ask if you wanted to jump in with a question or a comment.
Well, more of a comment. I think your last statement, Stephen, is runs right alongside what Pat and his earlier guest were talking about with regard to healthcare, right? I mean, it's that same mentality. It's that same attitude. So it comes down to politics rather than policy. It comes down to our side versus their side and just sort of glosses over the fact that there are good things that could be done if these politicians would stop, you know, sort of towing this party line nonsense and actually, you know, do something productive where it's obvious where they can be doing things.
Yeah. Let me piggyback on that to say, starting in the 1980s, lots and lots of rural voters, and this is across the country in rural districts, became more and more hostile to the federal government. And this was part of the, you know, the sort of the Reagan transformation in our relationship with the federal government. But the ugly secret is, the dirty little secret is, the federal government's programs have been remarkably successful in all kinds of ways, and rural electrification is just one of them. We could also talk about water projects as well, especially out west, where irrigation, you know, happens only because of the federal government. So I think, you know, as I said, what I wish would happen would be that those rural voters who continue to hold the federal government in such contempt would take a step back and look at the way the federal government may be the only force in American life that could step in and deal with things like healthcare, when, you know, you've got all these rural hospitals and clinics that are closing now because they're not profitable, internet, all kinds of things. That's, I think, the kind of the logjam we're in right now.
Well, you know, where I think we need to go is, actually, it comes back to my very first conversation on the radio with Hans, and it was about all of this heat gets generated toward government and red tape, when it actually is about corporate power, monopoly power, the influences that they have in Washington. And that's maybe a more productive, maybe not productive, but a more accurate place to direct ire from those in rural areas.
I'm sorry, did somebody just say farm bill?
that's exactly right.
Yeah, I had a conversation last week with a think tank operation in Washington paying. One of the things they work on is ag policy, and the farm bill is coming up for reauthorization. And that just has become a vast goodie bag of giveaways to large corporations of various kinds, you know. And if we reoriented that, and what it means is that independent producers, local producers, get more and more squeezed out of the system. I do think that there is a role for the federal government in agricultural policy. I think the farm bill is a way to shape our food systems and the things that we do put on our tables at dinner. But what we've got, and really for the last 50 years, I mean, if we really want to go back to this, this is Richard Nixon's agricultural secretary, Earl Butz, whose mantra was "get big or get out," has created this system. So the federal government is only as good as the purposes to which we put it. If we want to create a big corporate industrialized ag system, well, by God, we succeeded in doing that. If that's not what we want, then we need to use the tools that we have to do something different.
Yeah, and
I think like you said, there are things that the federal government can do and should do. And, you know, enforcing antitrust legislation would be a great place to start, because you're absolutely right. I think there is a lot of contempt in rural areas for the federal government, when in fact that contempt should be placed squarely on those larger and larger companies that have more to say about our rights.
The ones that have plenty left over for an army of lobbyists. Steve Kahn is the professor of history at Miami University of Oxford, Ohio, and he also has The Lies of the Land, Seeing Rural America for What It Is and Isn't. Professor Kahn, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
All right. All right. Back with Chad Holmes after this. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
All right, we're back at just about 7:51, and Chad Holmes should be joining us in just a sec. But first, I wanted to mention again Stephen Kahn's book, Lies of the Land, Seeing Rural America for What It Is and Isn't. And that is through the University of Chicago Press. And you can go to press.uchicago.edu rather than those big, massive corporate booksellers. Go to the University of Chicago Press to learn more about Steve Kahn's writing, which I thought was great to have it be, I don't know if contrarian is the right word, but more of a reality check, to say, look, let's not just immediately assume, you know, the worst in our rural and urban divide. Chad Holmes, I think, is going to be joining us soon through the new studio in Wausau. Let's see, Chad, are you you got connected here?
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Oh yeah, but you've got some
Chad in space.
Yeah, we've got a feedback loop somehow, as if I don't know if you have Chad, headphones if you could, on.
Chad, turn the volume down on your computer. Like, turn that off.
Yeah. And then I think we'll hear you just fine.
While we're waiting for that, just to let you know, Pat, we got a text from Sage himself.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're all echo.
You're all echo, buddy.
So I'll let you struggle with that for a little bit here. And Sage Weil, who runs up Civic Media here, is familiar with the book?
He said that y'all had a great conversation. Just sent a text in.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Like I said, when Hans told me about this, I just thought, yeah, we have to have him on, because it was a point that I tried to make quite frequently, that as somebody, again, who at the time, my state Senate district was the northern half of Eau Claire, and then it stretched all the way down the Highway 29 corridor just about to Wausau, so a lot of farm country in there as well, and it just didn't make sense at all to me that we were going to look at the cities and, you know, Milwaukee, Madison in particular, as some kind of enemy, because their kids need to learn. Our kids need to learn, you know, inflation affects them. Inflation affects us. And it just seems to me that I'm not going to say it's every time, but quite often, you know, when people say, well, rural America is shaking their fist at us, it's like, yeah, somebody made you a victim, you know? And that's just wrong.
Yeah, I think it's much better to look at ourselves as Wisconsinites rather than I'm from the city or I'm from the farmland. It's like, we're all here together. We all can work together. We all need help together. We all need to just do this together. I was having a conversation with some friends. I've lived in Waukesha, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha. So I don't have a city per se. This is my state, and they're all important to me.
Yeah, exactly. Let's give Chad another try here up in the Bull Falls Radio Studio in Wausau. You in with us yet there, bud?
I am trying.
No, he's still all echo.
Chad, if you can click on the volume button on your computer, that should knock out the problem. Mm-hmm. Also, if you turn on your video, might be able to...
Yeah, we see it.
Well, I have my video on. It's just not showing up.
Sorry, Chad. I don't mean to laugh.
No, I blame Luke. Luke was up there last week, you know, working on the studio and was trying to get everything all good to go. And, you know, clearly I think he did this.
I think Luke Mathers is an excellent executive producer, a handsome man.
Luke Mathers is still your boss, isn't he? That's right.
Incapable of wrong. He's like the Pope, infallible. And I don't like you or any other flat earther in this country talking poorly of Luke Mathers.
Cannot wait to play that back on the next time Mathers is on the radio with us. Chad, anything better yet?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Oh, shucky darn. Fine. Chad, we'll cut you loose. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll chat again real soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you later.
That was Chad in space.
This group, Civic Media,
yeah,
this radio network, is growing so nicely and so quickly. I think beyond a lot of people's expectations. And occasionally, you're still building the plane while you're flying it. Mm-hmm. And so every so often you notice something and you try to catch it before it goes out on air. But again, I would much rather have this issue than being in where he was before. It was a building that I believe was built during the Byzantine Empire, that radio station up in Wausau. I have worked in some old radio buildings.
How old were they?
There was one. I didn't work in this one, but I had a friend who worked in one that actually, it was located in a swamp, because that's, you kind of got the best signal from the tower when it was in this low area beaming out or whatever, that they had something called the Destroylet, a toilet that couldn't empty into the swamp. And so you had to hit this button every so often and incinerate the contents of the Destroylet. But I for the station that I had worked at, or a couple of stations, there was nobody cleaning out the bathrooms. And so if the bathrooms got bad, you know, you had to clean it out yourself. And so I'd much rather have the issues of growing a nice new radio network.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and have you seen the Madison studio? It's so gorgeous. It's so comfy and cozy. And
well, and even the small ones that are going up. There is one in Chippewa Falls. It's going to get wired in eventually, and it's in a nice old restored building in downtown Chippewa Falls. You're in downtown Waukesha, right?
I'm in a dentist's office, I think.
That's, you know, but it's got a nice, you know, street side view from there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to the one in Oshkosh and in Green Bay. And again, one's in a beautifully restored old building. One is in a newer building on the riverfront. So, you know, this thing is coming together very nicely. Yeah. The occasional echo notwithstanding.
I would just like to point out, yes, Chad Holmes's technical difficulties notwithstanding, and this is to Sage or Catherine or Luke, this whole show has been going smooth sailing with old Greggy Bach here behind the boards. And everyone heard the good stuff.
You're just trying to impress your mom because it's her birthday.
My mom's impressed when I get out of bed and put on my pants without hurting myself. So
I'm glad she has the bar appropriately set for you. Mom, happy birthday again.
Happy birthday, Greg, Mom. I love you very much.
We'll do this once more before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, and you can hear Greg again on As Goes Wisconsin, right? I mean, you skipped last week when Kristen was on, but you're good now for.
Oh yeah, I'm good. All the holiday cutting and promos and all this stuff is done.
Perfect.
Ready to celebrate.
All right. Sounds good. We'll hear more from Greg coming up on As Goes Wisconsin. Earl Ingram is coming up next on many of these Civic Media radio stations, except for Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. They're all followed by Todd Alba, As Goes Wisconsin, and then Todd Alba, Matt Flynn, and Devil's Advocates at 4:00. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you back here on the lake tomorrow.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.